Good morning. It was December of my freshman year in college. I was just getting ready to take my final exams and the phone rang. My mom said that my grandfather was seriously ill in Toronto. This was her dad. She would fly out there right away and I would fly as soon as my exams were over. My uncle picked me up in the airport in Toronto and we made the hour or so drive out of town to where he was. And I remember coming into the hospital and looking down this long hallway and seeing my mom step out of a room crying. And she looked at me and she said, "He's dead." My grandfather had just passed away. For the next few days there in Toronto, I tried to support my mom and support my family. And it was about 6 months later, we'd actually come home and life had kind of gone on as normal, more or less. And all of a sudden it hit me that it wasn't just my mom's dad that had died. It was my grandfather. And for the first time in my life, I let myself grieve. I let myself feel the pain of losing someone who was very dear to me. What about you? Have you ever lost someone who was really close to you? Today we're hitting the pause button and taking a break on our sermon series called Jesus Christ, based on the book of Mark, to have what we could call a Body Life Sunday, kind of a gathering around the kitchen table here as a family at sunrise to say, how are we doing? Because I'm aware that there are a number of people in the life of our church who have recently lost a loved one. Sometimes they've lost someone else who is a part of Sunrise. And in some cases, they've lost a loved one who is a friend or maybe a family member on the other side of the country or maybe even in another country. You might not know it, but there are people in our church, people in this room today, who have in the last number of months lost a beloved spouse. There are people who have lost their marriage to separation or to divorce. There are people in the life of our church who have lost a child. There are people in our church who have lost an unborn baby. There are people who have lost a family member. There are people in this room who could well be wondering in this very moment, that person, they can see his face or her face, and they may be wondering, will he or she be here this next year at this date? Others have lost an opportunity. Maybe the school that you really wanted to attend, or that promising job offer that just didn't materialize, or maybe a promotion that seemed it would be yours, but somehow just at the end it wasn't what happened. Or that guy that seemed so right, or that gal that seemed she maybe could become your wife, or even in some cases it's a family pet that we've had for years and we've grown so close. And on Friday, the Supreme Court announced its decision in approval of what some are calling same-sex marriage. Many feel a profound sense of loss from a cultural and governmental process that attempts to redefine marriage. We know that the state did not create marriage. God created marriage. Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth." Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. God created marriage between one man and one woman. God created people, and God created sexuality, and God created family. And these things have existed much longer than our own country, which we love. These things have been created much before laws in the country that we love. So in this decision, many sense a threat to our precious religious liberty. So it is a time to grieve. Whether you have an individual, relational, personal sense of loss, Or maybe you're a part of our culture. Something is being lost. And just like a family at a memorial service, there's all kinds of different ways and times that people grieve. If you've been to a memorial service, you might know that, you know, the brother might be over here crying and the sister might be over here being quiet. There's different ways and times to grief. And as we look to the future, we can listen in a new way to what's happening in our culture. We can love those who are different. We can remember that God loves sinners. And we can pray. Oh, I'm so glad we can pray. Would you pray with me right now? Our Heavenly Father, we are grieving the rapid social changes in our culture that undermine marriage. And Father, we recognize that marriage between one man and one woman was your gift to us from so long ago. And today we repent for the way that we have weakened marriage. We pray for your mercy on our country as some pursue a path to sin. We pray for our leaders that they would have your perspective and your wisdom, that they would guide our nation towards righteousness. Father, we also pray for our Sunrise parents and families and friends of those with same-sex attraction, that they would find strength and wisdom from you and that they would find support from us. Father, we pray for our friends with same-sex attraction, that they would know that you are a God of love and that they would experience love from us. Father, we pray that you would help each of us to live with the conviction and the compassion of Jesus Christ, that we would be his body as never before, and that you would receive glory. We ask that in the matchless name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Friends, no matter where you're coming from today, loss is part of life. Loss can lead to great sadness. To make it worse, any of us can feel in a moment of loss that I'm the only one who's had this kind of loss, or I'm the only one experiencing this kind of pain or this kind of grief. And that, my friends, is a lie from Satan. He uses that lie to divide us, to deepen our grief and extend our suffering. But you can know that other people also experience loss and other people also experience grief. And we can help one another. Now, you might be thinking, you know, grief schmief. I mean, I haven't experienced a whole lot of loss. And I mean, how bad could it be? Well, I'll tell you, the people who are going through grief in our church, they'd probably tell you it's actually kind of surprising. It's a little heavier. It's a little darker. It's a little more impactful. Someone told me just between services, I thought I was going crazy. I thought I might snap at a given moment. And you probably wouldn't expect that from this person. So I see the math that if you love anybody, and if you live very long, you're going to experience some loss. So it probably is in our interest to kind of get a little bit of a handle on it early. Our Sunrise vision is to follow Jesus Christ, to become and to belong and to bless. We're called to belong to one another. We are the place where we can go when we are hurting. On your very worst day, my hope is that you would have very good reasons to call someone in this room or someone connected to our church and say, I am struggling. Because I believe the body of Christ can love you, can love us like no one can. Friends, our Heavenly Father lost His only Son. Jesus Christ lost His friend Lazarus to death, and Jesus cried. Jesus lost every friend and every follower before the cross. No one is exempt. And if we are unprepared, loss can make us vulnerable to discouragement, to destructive patterns, even to sin, getting tangled up in things that we wouldn't normally get tangled up in. So graciously, God has given us help. He shared the inner thoughts of a godly man with us in Scripture. Now, there's something that I know about you. In fact, there's something I know about every person here. Do you know that every person here has an inner dialogue with yourself? Do you know that the voice you most listen to is not my voice? It's not the voice of your spouse, though they don't have to know that right now. It's not even the voice of God. The voice you most often listen to is your voice. It's a silent voice, and it's inside your head. And it's going on all the time that you're awake, and sometimes even when you're not awake. It's going on right now. Maybe it was going on when you got into church. Oh, groovy. Look at that parking spot. Cool. Look at that car. Well, that car's newer than my car. That car's dirtier than my car. So glad. You have this dialogue all the time. And God gives us a window into a godly man's inner dialogue. A godly man who's experienced significant loss. So that we can learn from his example and find hope and strength in loss. If you have your Bibles with you, as I hope you do, would you please turn to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. And what we're going to do is just simply kind of read this psalm together. Psalm 42 and verse 1 says, "As the deer pants for streams of water." Deer know where to find water. Their lives depend on it. Like a deer searching for water and not finding it. "So my soul pants for you, my God." You have a soul. Did you know? You have a soul, and it is the most important. It is the only eternal part of you. Friends, in this life, we can take our teeth to the dentist, we can take our eyes to the optometrist, but we take our soul to God. God is the lover of our soul. "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? Someone tell me, where can I find him?" This guy longed for God. He depended on God. This guy was a believer. He was not an atheist. He was not an agnostic. He believed. He believed more than most. But suddenly and strangely, he felt disconnected from God. This man's loss was a loss of the manifest presence of God in his life. He loved God. He wanted to be with God. There was a time he was with God. But as he writes this inspired psalm, he is feeling separated from God. So he talks to his soul. "My tears have been my food day and night." You know, people need to eat. He has no appetite. People need to sleep. He's not sleeping. These are the signs of depression. "While people say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?' To make it worse, he's facing opposition. They mock him." Now notice what he does. Because the present is so painful, he intentionally activates his memory. "These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng." This man was a worship leader. This man was a musician. This man was an artist. He says, "Oh, I remember the days, how I felt protected by the Almighty, how we would gather so many friends, how we would sing, oh, how we would shout and worship." Skipping to verse 6, he says, "My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will choose to," he's battling despondency, "I will choose to remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar." If you had grown up in Israel during this time, Jerusalem would have been sort of the center of your religious life, the temple, sort of the epicenter. He's far north near Lebanon in Syria. When Israel often would get attacked and invaded, it would be from Syria or from the Assyrians from the north. He's way off the grid. He's in the wilderness, if you will. And he's remembering what it was like to gather with his friends and to loudly and boldly worship God. "Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me." Israel is a dry land, and very often images related to water or seas have a sort of negative or sort of threatening connotation. Think about Jonah, if you will, in Scripture. Somehow God is allowing this hardship. "By day the Lord also directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life." This psalmist oscillates between walking by faith and having a fruitful life, and walking by sight and stumbling. Walking by faith and overcoming, and walking by sight and doubting. And here you see it. "I say to God, my rock," that's the voice of faith. He's standing firm, but then, "Why have you forgotten me?" And that is how we sometimes feel. Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony. I feel like I'm dying here. And grief can do that to you. As my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Friends, there may come a moment in your life when you feel forgotten. There may come a moment in your life when you feel that that spouse that you have loved, those friends that you have loved, those children that you have loved, that neighborhood that you love, that arrangement that was so sweet in your life is just gone and forgotten. My friend, here is what to do. You know that little voice in our minds? You can talk back to it. You can speak to your soul. You can tell your soul the truth. You can preach a sermon to you. How about that? Like verse 5. Like verse 11. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? You know what he's saying? Soul, how did we get here? Soul, what is going on? Not in this world, but in this heart. Soul, what is really at stake right now? Tim Keller is an author and a pastor. He says, our spiritual struggles can reveal misplaced loves and false hopes. Can you hear that? Our spiritual struggles can reveal misplaced loves and false hopes. Hard as it is, grief can remind us of what is good but temporary. The good gifts that God gives, people and experiences and opportunities. And on the other hand, what is good and unchanging, which is God Himself alone. His love for us. Hard as it is, grief and loss can remind us of what He's really given us in our spouse or in our children or in our unborn baby or in our job. In those friendships, in our country. Friends, hard as it is, loss and grief can actually move us towards worship, towards gratitude for what we have been given, even if that time is concluded, and towards worship for the God behind every good gift and every breath. David Martin Lloyd-Jones was a physician and a preacher. Out of his own struggle, he published a classic book called Spiritual Depression, Its Causes and Cure. He based it on Psalm 42. And he recommends exactly what the psalmist is doing, talking to your soul, telling your soul the truth. Friends, part of our sunrise vision is to follow Jesus Christ to become, and by that we mean on the inside, to have an internal life, to understand to a degree our own souls, to not be concerned just about behavior, you know, am I saying the right thing and getting to church on time and getting to the right events, but to actually attend to what's happening in our lives, where our behavior and our attitudes and our language come from. It means going from thinking about just being saved to being transformed, to being changed, to being made new. Sometimes even through loss. It means switching our thinking from kind of avoiding hell to actually experiencing a bit of heaven in my life. At my address, in my wardrobe, with my family and my job and my setup. So friends, there's a place to listen to your soul. There's a place for counseling. There's a place for journaling and for just hearing. But there's also a place for speaking back to our soul. Soul, put your hope in God. Drop your false hopes. The good gifts of this world are going to fade, and only God is going to remain. Soul, I will yet praise Him. My choice. My Savior and my God. He's thinking about the chesed of God, the unmerited, unconditional love of God. So put your hope in God, not in yourself, not in your spouse, lovely as she is, not in your kids, promising as they may be, not in your job, shiny as it is, not in your country, wonderful as it is in ways. Put your hope in God. There's someone who did this when he was thirsty, when he was forsaken, when he knew God so much better than we do, when he lost connection with God the Father for the first and only time, when he was separated from God by the sin of all people, when his foes who were killing him taunted him. Jesus trusted his Father. He put his hope in God, and he was not disappointed. Jesus left earth that we might have an even better companion, the Holy Spirit, in our lives. And because we have the very Spirit of Jesus Christ in our lives, we will not be disappointed. So put your hope in God. Friends, I believe that can help you. And I believe it can help me get through loss and get through grief. Another thing that can help is understanding a little bit about the stages of grief. And much has been written and said about these stages in the last few decades. And some would say there are 5 stages to grief, or 7 or 8. Those in them would say, you know, they list out sequentially on paper. They don't actually always work that way in life like so much else. It's kind of 2 steps forward and 1 step back. You can kind of move along in a back and forth kind of way. I want to identify 4 stages of grief. 1 is denial. We experience loss and we're shocked. This wasn't planned. We were supposed to be on vacation. I'm in the hospital. This is not what we were going to be doing. How did we get here? We almost feel paralyzed. We struggle to kind of wrap our mind around what's happened. Denial. Then there's anger. Why did this happen, God? Why did this happen to him? Why did he have to lose his job again? We've been through this. Wasn't that enough? How could this happen to her? This is not fair. There's anger and there's hurt. There's depression. We can feel alone. We cry. We wonder if we can get out of bed. There is that time. There's the memorial service. There's the public dimension to grief. There are some meals. There's some love and some care. But then basketball season starts and soccer season starts and the school year gets on. And so many people go back to doing what they do. And we can feel alone as never before. Balancing the checkbook seems a monumental task. Buying groceries seems impossible. We drive the car and it's like we wake up and we say, where was I the last mile or two? I'm not quite sure how I even got here. And then there can be acceptance. A gradual dawning of hope. An awareness that God is meeting me in this. I see God's kindness. God hasn't left me. Life goes on. This is a new normal. I wouldn't have chosen this, but I am going to make it by God's grace. Denial, anger, depression, acceptance. The acronym, DADA. DADA! DADA! Maybe that's a good label for grief. So my friend, if you're grieving today, I am so sorry. I am sorry for your pain. I'm sorry for how heavy it is, for how overwhelming it is. I'm just glad you're here. And I want you to know that I pray, and our staff prays regularly on Tuesday mornings for people in our prayer sheet. If you're grieving a lot, you can go to guest services right after this service and just write it out, put it in there. We'll get it. We'll be praying. And I am so proud of Sunrise. Sunrise is such a marvelous place of healing. Friends, as I talked on the phone this week with people who have lost a spouse this year, sometimes in the last couple of months, one person said, a Sunrise friend, losing a spouse is the hardest thing I have ever done in my life. Another Sunrise friend told me this week, I don't know where I would be without my church family. There are people on the East Coast who are praying for Sunrise and grateful for Sunrise's ministry to their mom or to their dad who is in grief. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Friend, the way that we respond can be so powerful. And you might be like I so much am, saying, you know what, I just don't know what to say. It's not that I don't care, it's just that I don't know. You might be saying, like I would be saying, is there like a dummy's guide to saying the right thing during grief? Anybody want that book? Yeah, I want two copies, you know, one at home, one at work. That would be just great. Until that thing comes out, here's kind of a start, maybe a step in that direction. Some do's and some don'ts, a few don'ts. Don't avoid them. The fact that their spouse died doesn't mean they died. They're still alive. The fact they didn't get the job doesn't mean they've disappeared. They're still here and they're hurting. Don't avoid them. Don't say to them, well, it's God's will. You know, how easy for you or me to say. Don't say, well, God needed your loved one more. Don't say, at least you had him for 25 years. Don't say, just let me know if there's anything I can do. Friend, don't be too unfeeling. Don't be too convenient. Don't be too glib. Friends, hear this. Don't cite Romans 8:28. Don't say, hey, God works all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Good. You know, that verse is true, but delivered at the wrong time in the wrong way can appear to completely overlook the pain that they're in right now. And that's what they need help with. Someone just to come alongside them and join them in their pain. Start where they're at. Meet their emotion with your emotion. Don't feel threatened by their pain. So often we see someone really hurting. It's a threat to us. We don't know how to handle it. We say, let me go there and cheer them all up. Look at them all happy and walk away. And I get to have the image of them happy in my head. You know who that's trying to help? Me. They're not happy and they're not going to be happy for a while. They've lost someone huge in their life and grief is okay. Grief is like gravity. It's a normal response. We need to make room for it in our lives. Well, what can you do? Hey, empathize. You can say, I am so sorry for your loss. If you pray, you can tell them that you pray for them. You don't have to be able to explain why bad things happen. There's mystery in this life. Don't ask them, how are you doing? I've heard of a member at Sunrise, a person attending this church, a member who said, if one more person asks me, how are you doing? I'm going to punch him in the nose. And I don't think this person has ever punched anybody in the nose. A better question would be, what is the most difficult thing for you right now? Because it acknowledges that they're hurting. Or to ask, how have you been feeling and how are you responding to that? Come inside their world. That answer may change hour by hour and moment by moment. And then you deploy grief's magic weapon. You know what it is? You listen. And you listen. And you listen. You practice the presence, the ministry of presence, of just being there. Your physical attentive presence is more valuable than you know. Maybe you hug them. For the grieving person, it may seem like their life has completely been destroyed. You and I can remember that Jesus Christ is an awesome foundation on which to rebuild a life. If the person is not a person of faith in Christ, there could be a moment. It's probably not right away where you say, have you ever invited Jesus Christ into your life? He's the author of life. He can rebuild a life. He knows what loss is about. He's helped so many billions of people. I'm sure he can help you. Well, someone who knows a lot about walking through grief is my friend Linda Morgan. Would you welcome Linda to the platform this morning? Linda, I am so glad you're here. God bless you. Come on over here. As we prepared for this moment together, you kind of suggested that I just sort of say straight out some of the losses that have gone on in your life. Is that okay?
That's right. That's good.
Linda, your daughter died at age 30. Mm-hmm. She left an 18-month-old baby and a husband. 3 years later, your husband died. Mm-hmm. And 6 weeks later, your mother died.
That's right.
That's a lot.
It was a lot, and it continues to be.
Can you talk to us about your experience with grief?
I can. I guess I discovered that each grief is different, that with each death, I experienced each one of those griefs differently. And they say that in Grief Share, we say that grief, each one has its own fingerprints. Nothing is the same. Your grief is going to be different than someone else's. With my daughter, there were so many layers of grief, and it was so complex. They say that the death of a child is at the top of the Richter scale of pain. It's out of the natural order of things. You don't expect to bury your child. That's just doesn't happen, but it did. My husband, they say that a spouse death is close to that in pain. The death of my mom, that's more in the order of things. She was 92, and that grief was experienced differently. But each one had its own part.
Thanks for walking us through that. What comforted you as you were walking through those days?
Well, after the death of my husband, my children absolutely were my greatest earthly comfort. Don and I have 6 children, and Melissa had already died, but I have 5, and they all came home. That was fabulous. Mm-hmm. Came home, brought their families, 9 grandchildren, and that comforted me greatly. We just stayed together for the longest amount of time. Mm-hmm. It was wonderful. Even now, as I think of that, it brings me joy. How can you have joy in grief? Well, that helped. Mm-hmm. And then music. Music's always been a part of our family. And under the leadership of my son, Joel, the children made a CD for me. Solos and duets. And even Josiah, at 9 years old, recorded with Joel and his uncle, Nate. A month after my husband's death, I drove my freshman, my daughter Katie, who's a freshman in college, I drove her to the airport to put her on the plane for college. And I walked back from that to the parking garage to my husband's truck, put that CD in they had made for me, and for the next 2 hours, they sang me home.
That's great.
And, you know, that was a really big deal because that was the first time I ever went to an empty house without children and without a husband.
Mm. Wow.
So that journey has brought me great comfort. And then also friends. And, you know, my friend, before the journey with grief, I thought friends were like ice cream or dessert. You could live without them. During the journey of grief, I found out that friends were the stuff of life and what an impact they have had in my life. In fact, I am not even the same person that I was 15 years ago when my daughter died. My life has been transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the pathway of grief, and with my friends that have impacted my life.
There are some spots in God's Word that have kind of surfaced for you.
Yes.
Identify a few of those.
Psalm 146:6, the Lord upholds the fatherless and the widow. Isaiah 54:4 and 5, do not be afraid. That's really big for a widow. Mm. Do not be afraid. You will not be put to shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. For your maker, creator, God, is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. And this week, Pastor, as I read this, I thought, you don't mess with widows.
Amen. You got that? God's got their back. Linda, you and I have friends in this room listening right now, and some of them have experienced loss and are grieving. Mm-hmm. What would you say to them?
I would say that you can experience the pain of grief while still having an unshakable faith in God. It's not sin. You are not failing if you grieve. Isaiah 53:3 describes Christ as the man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and it doesn't remove the pain, but it gives support during the pain. Those overwhelming emotions that you're having are the result of loving. And allow people into your life. It's easy to close the door, pull the shades, but allow people into your life. Sometimes, though, you get an overabundance of caring people, maybe too many invitations, that type of thing. And it is a suggestion that you write a letter and just explain to your friends and your family where you're at, what you need. You would need a little bit of this, not a lot of that, none of that, and only a little bit of this. And that gives you boundaries and also will help with emotional safety. And take care of yourself. Get up in the morning, make the bed, get dressed. Keep as regular a schedule as you can while allowing yourself time to grieve. Keep your doctor's appointments, your dentist's appointments. Do your exercise. In other words, don't neglect your health. And then, give grace to crummy comments. You know, sometimes I've walked away from a situation and I've thought, how could that come out of my mouth? Stupid just takes over sometimes. And so I thank you for just giving us grace as you grieve. That is good. And then dwell in the Word of God. You know, when you're grieving, sometimes you can't even read the words on a page. So put the CD in that has the Word of God playing or stream it on your computer. Yeah.
Now, there are also many people in this room who would say, you know, I don't know that I'm necessarily in grief right now, but I know someone who is, or knowing who they've lost, they very well could be. Mm-hmm. How can I do a better job of loving them this very week? What would you say to them?
I'd say your presence is a lot more important than your words. Just be there. Yeah. Dwell with them. I'd also ask you to remember there's no time limit on grief. Yeah. It's been a year. Aren't you over that yet? No. If you lost your arm, you would never outlive that. And you don't ever outlive grief. Grief becomes you. It becomes woven into the fabric of your being. Yeah. It transforms who you are. And so it isn't a matter of you outliving that. And it takes time for the person who to live without the one that has died. And then if the one who is a primary wage earner has died, there is financial impact. And then there are secondary losses. The person might have lost her favorite gardener, accountant, home repairman. Comfort can take on a very practical role, like asking the question, what's your biggest challenge this week? And how can I help you meet it? And then take out your phone and put in the date of death, or on your calendar, set a reminder, and next year call. Show up with flowers, send a card. I remember at the year anniversary of my husband's death, a friend showed up with flowers. I don't remember what she said, but I remember the flowers. And then food always tastes better when you're with friends. Eating alone can be very depressing. And one of the sweetest things you can do is to listen to the stories of the one that died. Listen, hear what they say. And a great place to do that is at your table at home. Mm. And so fill your table up with people that eat alone, who dwell alone, or who have lost someone they love.
Linda, I just want to thank you for blessing me as we met this last week or so, and then blessing our congregation. The way that God has met you in what has been a very dark valley and transformed your life and given you a new sense of joy and life in this is just inspiring to me. So I praise God for your life. I'm grateful for you. Could we encourage Linda this morning? Linda and I want you to know there are more resources available for you. Grief Share is a 13-week support group for those who have lost a loved one or friend to death. It can help you learn how to grieve the healthy way. A Journey in Grief Care is a 12-week class that trains people to understand grief and be better able to comfort one who is going through that. Dave Crossan is just doing an excellent job leading these classes. Dave helped shape this message. And both Dave and Linda are going to be available after the service in the foyer. I would encourage you to visit with them and to connect with them more deeply. Now, we want to pray. And I'm going to ask if you would actually kind of start our prayer on behalf of those in grief today. And I would ask you, if you're comfortable, you might take the hand of your husband or wife or friend or a loved one next to you or even someone you don't even know, just down the row there. They may be experiencing grief, or they may in the future, as a symbol that we're a body, that we belong together, that we are here for Christ, and because of Christ in us, we're here for one another, to minister to one another at some of our darkest days. Linda, would you pray for us?
Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you give hope in the middle of grief, joy in the middle of pain, that great is your faithfulness. Amen. And I pray that you would see my friends here today that are grieving and ask, Lord, that you would meet them in that time. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness.
Father, thank you for the way you're using Sunrise, even this last week, to specifically encourage people who experience loss. Father, I pray you'd even take us a step forward, that we would be an even more compassionate and sensitive and discerning, wise place, that even others would find healing here, that you would give us the right things to say and the courage to say them, the courage to change our calendars and our schedules, to be physically present with someone in a moment of need. Jesus, we worship you. We thank you that you left the comforts of heaven for the perils of earth to step into our world. I pray you'd help us step into one another's worlds as well, even when those worlds have been shaken or badly damaged. And I pray that that would build your body at Sunrise and even in our community and around the world. We ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Would you thank Linda one more time? Friends, let's be the church that breaks the curve on grief care. A couple of resources in your bulletin. One is a resource sheet that has some great questions about loss and grief, and then some scriptures on the back. Each one of these scriptures has been used for a person at Sunrise to help them in a time of grief. They're sort of tested and approved, if you will. So if you sometimes wonder, what scripture could I use to encourage someone? This might be a list that you could start to think about. Then if you are grieving today, a handout that says 15 things I wish I'd known about grief. One person's uninspired, very practical perspective on grief. If you're grieving or know someone who is, this might be a helpful resource to them. If this topic touches you in some way, if you are hurting, if you are concerned about the future of our country or the recent Supreme Court decision, if you want to talk, if you would like someone to listen or share scripture and pray with you, I will be available and numbers of my friends right after the service, right up here. We'd love to connect with you. Loss happens. But because of Jesus Christ, we have access to God and we can get through grief. We can find hope when it seems that hope is lost. And because of Jesus Christ, each of us can be used in the life of another person to bring them strength and hope. Thank you for being a church that belongs together. I love you. God loves you. God bless you. Have a great week.